3 John, you're familiar with that verse. 3 John 2 is a very familiar verse. Beloved. Now that's an important word. Teachers are word people. I always say pastors and preachers go by pages and chapters, but teachers always go by words and syllables. And that's the way the anointing of the Lord projects it. That's the way God wants it. He wants us to understand the details. He wants us to see the big picture. If we get bogged down in the details, we've got to have somebody come along to remind us of the big picture. Amen. Oh, thank God for the gifts of God, the calling of God that are without repentance that God pours upon His church of pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Oh, we're so benefited because God's given us a variety of gifts. Many, many things to hear so that we'll capture the fullness of God in this mortal body. Not the fullness of God after a while over yonder by and by. I'm grateful for after a while over yonder by and by, but I'm so glad I don't have to wait till then.
Amen.
The old song said we'll understand it better by and by, but that's not entirely true. I know we look through a glass darkly, but some things we're going to understand today.
Amen.
We're going to leave here with some understanding today. We're going to know some things today. Our land is troubled, but God has great victory, and the people of God walk in victory, and the bright light of the gospel does shine. The scripture says we're not of the night. Doesn't say we might be of the night. Doesn't say we have to entertain darkness. It says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we belong to God, we are not of the night. We are not in the dark. That means God has for you an amazing victory.
Amen.
That's for you individually, personally, and for all of us corporately, and for our land as well.
Amen.
An amazing victory. And it says, beloved, that's you. Do you know who you are?
Yeah.
Beloved. One man told me, that's only the introduction. In other words, it didn't count because it's just in the introduction. Well, when I write a letter, I mean, do you mean your introduction? I'm sincere about my introduction.
Amen.
If I say, hello, how are you? We are fine. That's what I meant. It was the truth.
Amen.
This is God's introduction. It's to His family. It's to the body of Christ. He said, you are my beloved. Now, let me tell you, beloved. I put my name in there. This book was written to me. This is my personal copy. It has my name on every page. It says, Becky, I wish above all things. I know He's not talking to them. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. All of us who will receive the precious word of the Lord. I wish above all things. Now that's heavy, isn't it? Above all things. Above all things. When we travel, we leave someone at our house. We have a dog. We did have 3 dogs. We're down to 1. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. And because she's older, we pamper her. And above everything else, that's a sign to the people who stay in our house. We want the dog to be pampered, the dog to be fed on schedule. We want the dog to be well cared for. Now, it would be nice if the vacuum's run and if the dishwasher's loaded. I appreciate those things. But it isn't nearly as important to me as the comfort of the dog. I promised her she could live long upon the earth. I promised her every need would be met. See, she belongs to me and I belong to God, and that's the way God does things.
Amen.
It's a ministry of excellence. You live a life of excellence.
Hallelujah.
We don't settle for slipshod.
Yes.
I like to say, this is God in company.
Amen.
We are God in company.
Amen.
So above everything, I want the dog well cared for. I left for a couple of days and left a lady just to come by and feed the dogs. They can stay overnight by themselves. I had several at that juncture, and I said, feed the dogs at 5. So she had some errands to run, so she came at 4:30. But my dogs won't eat at 4:30. And they stood there. She says, I could not believe that. I could hear you saying the dogs eat at 5. And one of my dogs stood there and looked at the bowl till 5 o'clock. Beloved, that's you.
Amen.
Above all things. Now what does God want for your life? For our life. Above all things. That you prosper and be in health. But He gives a condition, a criteria, even as your soul prospers. The soul is the mind that's being renewed with the Word of God. When you came to God, your spirit man belonged to the devil. You were a sinner. You were in the darkness, but now that you belong to God, He's translated you out of the darkness into the light. You are not in the darkness. You are not of the night. In the darkness, there's great destruction. In the darkness, there's great lack. In the darkness, there's sickness. In the darkness, the hand is slack. But in the very light of God's love, see, his life and his life abundantly does shine, bringing you forth everything that would be in your heart and in your mind. Amen. Beloved, who is that? I wish above all things that you prosper. That word prosper means to succeed in business. You can't succeed in business if you're going under. I mean, if we look at your books and there's not a profit there, you're not succeeding. God wants his people to profit. And not just to profit financially. Finances are just a part of what God is doing. I can prosper financially, but if I'm in poor health, I can't go into all the world, though I have the money to go.
Amen.
I've got to have the health. Now, I can have the health to go, the strength of body to go, and without proper funds, I can't go. But I can have the strength and the health to go. I can have plenty of money and not know the anointing of the Spirit of God. And I'm not prepared to go. See, God has many things for you. It says in Romans 8, he's freely given us all things. A thing is a possession. It says in Webster, is that which can be possessed. Freely. Free. You get that? People will line up for blocks and miles if you say, I'm going to give you something free.
Amen.
You don't even have to tell them what it is. You can put it in a paper bag and staple it. You don't have to put a bow on it. Just tell them it's free. And they'll line up. And somebody will come along and say, I got this free. And they'll say, where'd you get that? Everybody wants something free. God, when God gives free, he gives freely in great abundance.
Amen.
He gives to people who will believe in the freedom of the Spirit and follow the word of the living God. When your soul prospers, you follow the word of God. Now, I like the succeeding verses. It says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as thou walk in the truth. You can have the truth and know the truth and not walk in the truth. See, I have to know what God is saying. I grow in knowledge of God. I desire from the day I was born again, desire the sincere milk of the word that I may grow. I'm going to grow in God. I'm going to learn truth. I'm going to see the light. It says in Proverbs 4, the light of the Christian grows brighter and brighter. I should look shinier than I did last time I was here. I should know more by the Spirit of the living God, and so should you. See the path. We're Christians. We're in the light. In the light. God said, follow me and you'll not walk in the darkness. Stay out of the dark. Stay out of the dark. How can I stay out of the dark? How can I recognize the dark? Because I'm following he who is light. Now, if we turned all the lights out in this room, it'd be very dark in here because there's no windows. We did this one day in a class I was teaching. They didn't believe me, but it was dark, dark, dark. And in that pitch dark, God came into your life. He said, I want you to have the light of the glorious gospel. I want you to have the light. I want you to have the light. I want you to prosper. I want you to know me. I want you to know my word. I want you to overcome. I want you to triumph. I want you to succeed. All of those words are used in the scripture. They all mean the same thing. Oh, shades of meaning. The Bible doesn't say a lot of different things. Sometimes because it's a fat book, you know, pretty thick, small print. Well, mine's a little bigger than it used to be. Because I have to see it. But it does it matter to you if you prosper? If you succeed? If you have victory? If I say this man has victory and this man's prospering, is there any difference? Not too much. If I say this man's prospering, this man has victory, this man's conquering, does that make any difference? Not too much. Well, if I say this man's prospering, this man has victory, this man's conquering, this man's overcoming. That make much difference? Not too much. See, the message of the scripture is singular.
Amen.
Jesus talked about having a single eye. The message is singular. It's the same message. When he says, beloved, I want you to prosper. I want you to have the truth. I want you to walk in the truth. I want you to stay in the light. I am the light. I want you to follow me. And if you follow me, you'll not be in the darkness. Have you ever been in the darkness? My, did you like it over there? You wanted to get out, didn't you? You wanted light. I remember as a girl spending a lot of time with the neighbor's daughter. She was about a half a block over. So if you waited too late, you know that was before streetlights. In fact, I don't think Mama's neighborhood has streetlights to this day. In fact, I know they don't. And if you waited till after dark to come home, there was an element of fear there. And I'd spot my mother's back door light, and it was a good distance. I've got to go past two or three houses to get there. And I'd start right here, and I'd keep my eye on that light, and I'd make a dash. I'd run towards the light. And that's what Christians need to do. They need to know the will, the purpose of God for you is light, it's life, it's prosperity, it's overcoming, it's conquering. Every dilemma, God has a solution. People are all the time telling you, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have faith in God. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I have faith in God. I know above all things, God wants me to know Him, to know His Word. He wants my soul to prosper. He wants His Word to be embedded and planted so in my mind and heart that in every dilemma I can walk successfully. See, life's not going to be without trouble. You noticed that, didn't you? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He can do. See, and it's more than He can do. He will. God's ability is not nearly as strong as His willingness. If you need money, you're not concerned about where is the money. You know plenty of institutions which have money, but will they give you any of it? Now, God has great ability, and He's willing. In fact, you know it's more than God's willingness. Did you know God is aggressively benevolent? And you write that down and underline it. God is aggressively benevolent. Now, if I am passive, I'm benevolent, that means I want to do good things, but I'm passive about it, and I say, if I see you, if I run into him, I'm going to write him a check for $1,000. But that's not the hand of God. If I were aggressively benevolent, I said, I have his check. I've already got it written. I'm going to find him. I'm going to find him today. I'm going to call him at the house. I'm going to call him at the office. But I am finding him today, and I am putting that $1,000 in his hand today. And that's the benevolence of our Father. He's aggressively benevolent. He's fully willing. His eyes, it says, are watching. It says he's watching to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart's perfect toward him. He's watching. Why is he watching? Because the Lord is gracious. That means he's aggressively benevolent. He wants to do something for you. He wants to help you. That's why in Hebrews chapter 13 it says, go ahead and boldly say, the Lord's my helper. So don't be reluctant. Don't draw back. Go ahead and what? Boldly say. Go ahead and what?
Boldly.
The Lord's my helper. Why? He's gracious. He's aggressively benevolent. He's watching. What can I do? What can I do? I want to do something. I want to do something. Let me help you overcome. Let me help you prosper. Let me help you succeed. My, sometimes God is promoted like he's harsh and he's hard. He's austere and certainly judgmental. You never know what God is going to do. You do if you can read. I read it. He said, Becky, listen to me. I want above everything that you prosper, that you succeed, that you profit. But it's going to depend upon your knowledge of me, and you're walking in that knowledge or walking in the light of the Word. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's just a repeat of 3 John. The Bible doesn't say a lot of different things. It says a few things, many different ways. And where 3 John talked about prosperity and health, 2 Corinthians talks about triumph. And it's in verse 14 of chapter 2. Thanks be unto God. You know, you knew if I could meet all your need out of my riches It didn't matter what you needed. I could do it and I would do it. And I had money standing by and physicians standing by and extra house and extra servants. And you just asked for it. And I'm going to do it for you. And I made a commitment to you. And my word is my bond. And I've never lied. And I've always kept my word. And I said, now listen, you ask anything you ask me for, you just come to me. I'm going to meet all your need the rest of your life. Boy, you'd be saying, thanks be unto Becky. It bothers me that the body of Christ doesn't rejoice over the extended hand of God. Yeah. Oh, we ought to get up every morning shouting, glory to God, I'm saved, 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 not going to hell. Rescued, delivered, and set free. Because the Spirit of the Lord lives now in me. And I can His word heed and His voice hear, because the Spirit of the Lord draws me to the Father near. And in my heart, His voice I hear. Then there's so much more for you in store. If you believe that you receive, if you believe that triumph can be. You know, I hear what people say. I don't know why God did. Okay, who told you that was God? Some dilemma, some trauma. The devil tied them to the light post outside their house. And they said, I don't know why God wants me to stand here. One gentleman told me, it just gets worse. Worse and worse and worse. Always gets worse. I wondered if he knew 3 John 2. When I get up in the morning, if it's still dark, you know what I do? I go to the light switch. If it's still dark, don't get up too often before the light of the glorious sun comes shining through. But if it's still dark, I just go to the switch and turn on the light. All I have to do in my dilemma, in my trauma, is go to my spirit, where the Son of Righteousness does abide. And He's called the S-U-N of righteousness, so that we'll know that He is the light of the world, and God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And you are of God, you are of the light, not of the night. You don't walk in the night, and all you have to do is get up in the darkness of some dilemma, some trauma. Instead of complaining about the dilemma, complain about the trauma. Flip the switch and say, oh, thanks be unto God. Oh, who always... This is always. Now, if I'd written it, I'd say, we'll do the best we can for you. I couldn't say always because I couldn't come through, but God said, I can always, always cause you to triumph. And if I get up tomorrow and it's darker still, I say, oh, thank God. Thank God. We have a kitchen island. I pray around that island. I have prayed miles around that island. Now I got new posts. It's further around the island. But one day I was in such, I don't know, one lady said she was in a little snit. Have you ever heard that word? That was new to me. I recognized it, though. I thought, yeah, I think that's what's happening. I never heard that word. And I'm going around my island. I'm going to praise the Lord. In a minute, just any minute now I am. I couldn't get my mouth open. All I could think of was, oh, God. Oh, what a leper do. I thought yesterday was bad. I can't even remember now what the trauma was. And I'm going round and round. I must have done a mile. It's a 5-foot rectangle. And finally, the most pathetic praise the Lord you ever heard. And that was it. That's all I could do. But I kept pacing. I'm a pacer. You can't tell that, I know. I kept pacing. I don't know how people sit still. I haven't conquered that. And finally, I said another praise the Lord. And suddenly, there's someone on the inside. Oh, see, he bears witness. The Holy Ghost is in there bearing witness. He's giving testimony. He's saying, that's it, Becky. That's it. You've got it. You've got it. Hold fast to that. Run with that. And suddenly, that which was on the inside, all of that bubbling right in the middle of that trauma began to bubble up and overflow. And I began to dance around my kitchen island. And I began to shout, oh, thanks be unto God. But you know, I had to prime the pump. Now, I'm older than some of you. And Granddaddy had a pump in the backyard. In fact, that's where the kitchen water was, at the pump in the backyard. I remember when they put a sink on the back porch. You talking about thanks be unto God. Oh, glory to God, a sink on the back porch. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. And they'd go out and have to prime that pump. Now, I know God wants me to triumph. He wants me to overcome. He's got a solution for every dilemma. And all I'm doing round and round my island is priming the pump. Is letting God know, I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. See, a lot of people don't believe in victory. They believe in sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level with the ground. They believe in going under. I know that by what they say. One lady in a doctor's office, I did not know her. I had never seen her before. She said, did they tell you I was going to die? I said, no, ma'am. And she told me all about it. She told the man next to her. She told the whole room. Everybody would listen. They tell you I was going to die. She didn't believe in victory. She didn't believe that verse. Probably didn't know it. But God wants me to prosper and be what? No. It doesn't bother me if I'm falling short of God's perfect will. You have to know what the goal is in order to arrive. You don't put players in any kind of sports. Let's just play football, but let's don't tell them they have to carry the ball over the goal. Well, then they won't ever carry it. If they carry the ball over the goal, it'll be an accident. It won't ever happen but once. You tell them, see that post? See that line? See this ball? See that team? Go through them, past them, and cross that line with this ball. That's my whole knowledge of football. That's all I know. That's all I want to know. I've already seen all the ball games they ever care to see this year. This year, I'm already maxed out. That's all right. See, we're all different. Said, I like ball. Watch all you want. I like it if they're winning, if things are moving fast. Otherwise, I like the potato chips. Yeah. Somehow, when you watch, you eat. Otherwise, I'm not much into that. Well, let's don't tell the basketball player his purpose is to put the ball in the basket. He didn't have to know that. The body of Christ has stumbled around in the dark. We don't want to intimidate anybody. We don't want to hurt their feelings. And so while we don't tell them that God wants victory for them, that God wants them to prosper, that he wants them to triumph, you know, when it says triumph, that means there's an enemy that doesn't want you to triumph. When it says, I'll make you more than a conqueror, I mean, somebody's trying to prevent that. If there's conquering and triumph, there has to be some obstacle in your pathway. Oh, but thank God, see, God says, I'm the light. But he shines the light by the Spirit on the obstacle. And then he tells him by the Spirit how to remove that obstacle. And I love the translation. The King James says in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. That's very dignified, isn't it? I like the translation says, whosoever say unto this mountain, move! I mean, let's just get on it, huh? In Jesus' name, you move. Because that's my goal. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to triumph. I'm going to overcome. That's our goal as a church. That's our goal as a nation. Thanks be unto God. And when I see in my heart, see, vision begins in the heart. I see in my heart, I'm the winner. I'm the winner. Now Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, for then you shall observe. Observe means to see, to do, according to all that's written therein, for then I'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. There it is again. Three witnesses. Prosper, succeed, triumph. But it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's the same thing that John said when he told me that my soul must prosper, that my soul must know God and walk with God. That Joshua said when he said, you take the book of the law, that's what they had available to them, and you meditate day and night. Now come June, you're going to want air conditioning day and night. Continual supply, continual flow, and I like lots of air conditioning. My bill reflects that. I look at my bill and I say, my Becky, 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 you were comfortable, weren't you? Oh, listen, I talk to myself. You don't talk to yourself, you'll never be as successful. Because it's a speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. So take the word of God, you begin to speak it. Say, oh, I'm going to triumph. God wants me to triumph. He wants me to succeed. He wants me to prosper. But it says meditate day and night in the word. Now meditate day and night is to camp in one spot. And you need, in the middle of a dilemma, to find the scripture that meets your need. The Spirit of the living God guides us to specific scriptures in order to anchor us, in order to hold us steady while we're walking towards the goal. We're going right over that line that says, triumph, 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 victory, victory, conquer, conquer, prosper, prosper, succeed, succeed. Right over that line, succeed. And while I'm walking that way, it's the scripture and the Spirit that anchors me. So that it says, lift up the hands that hang down. You know, that's what happens when you have some dilemma. You go, you say, well, praise the Lord. So lift up those hands. Why? Because I'm going to have triumph, 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 triumph. Victory, 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 victory. Conquer, 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 conquer. Prosper, prosper, prosper. That's the will of the Lord. And it's accomplished as I read the word, as I meditate the word, as my heart is full of the word of the living God, and the Spirit of God can sort through that word and bring me the specific scripture that I can hold on to and cling to while I'm walking towards the goal, so that my hands won't hang down, so that it says, talks about feeble knees, so that my footsteps will be strong, and my hands will be lifted, and my voice will be loud, the Lord's my helper! And I'm moving steadily towards victory. Now the greater dilemma, the more you cling. Oh, thank God. He said, I'll never. He said, Becky, listen to me. See, this was my book. It has my name in it. God wrote it to me. He says, Becky, listen to me. I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. Now, I think about that. I say, oh, thanks be unto God. Yeah. He's here. I may not sense that. You know, we're all here gathered together in the Spirit of the Lord's presence. You can sense that. If you can't, your wood's wet. There's fire here. You can sense that. But some days at my house, you think, where is the Spirit of God? You don't sense the wind blowing at all. But I have His Word. He said, Becky, listen to me. I will never leave you. He's here. He's here. And His goal is the same every time. I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Now when I meditate, I take the promise that helps me. And what I'm meditating, pondering, thinking about may be different from what you're meditating in. See, the Spirit of the Lord, He dwells on the inside. He guides me to the Scripture that's going to meet my need. I remember years ago, Our children were in a car accident. You heard me teach much. You've heard this story. We got a call. Actually, they had announced that they were dead. I didn't hear that, which was good. It was good that I didn't hear that. But for weeks, every time I'd step into the Spirit, I'd hear, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." See, the Spirit of God who sees ahead. I can only see so far. And what I see, sometimes I can't identify. So it looks like it's sort of a, I don't know, it seems bad to me. But He knows what it is. Knows how to identify it. God knows every hair of my head. And we had this cat that killed every bird that lit on the ground. And then she'd bring them to the house. See, this is her moment of victory. She has another bird. She wanted me to share that victory. She wanted to put them at the doorstep so I could say, "Oh, wow, that is wonderful. You killed another bird." I didn't ever think that was victory, but she did. And it said, God knows when every sparrow falls. The Lord is good and His mercy endures. And when that sparrow lit on the ground and my cat pounced on it and captured it and killed it, heaven knew that. Heaven was aware of the sparrow that died in my yard that day. And He was aware, so aware that my children were going to be in a near fatal accident. And He kept saying to me, looking out over my future, because He watches over us. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Couldn't get away from that verse. And when they called me, and the little girl that was at the bus stop said, "Are you Joel's mother?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, he's been in an accident. I think you need to come." My heart said, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." Thanks be unto God. Oh, dear Father. Dear Father. Alive, alive. Alive forevermore. My Jesus. Alive forevermore. He's alive. And His goal for me is the same. Now look at Romans 8. He describes life's dilemmas. I love this because it helps me. Now it says in verse 37, no! Nay is no. No! He's talking about when evil comes your way, when the darkness moves towards you, maybe overshadows you. God says, no! And what is this? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. World War II, I was not there. I only know what I've read and what I've seen in old film. But the sacrifice they made has impacted my life. I am more than a conqueror today because they took the time to conquer. They conquered. They brought the victory to me. Jesus faced Satan and conquered him, destroyed him, defeated him, and He brought you that victory. And you're more than a conqueror. You are not on the battlefield, but you have the victory. And they said, in all these things. I said, what things? What things? It won't matter if you triumph, if you prosper, if you succeed, or if you go with Third John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory. All of those scriptures give us the same idea that God wants me to be ahead, out front, on top. He wants me to overcome. And when He uses the word overcome, I love one minister said this. Very simple. You know what it means to overcome? Come over something. See? All these things. What things? Things, what things I'm going to conquer. There's some things to conquer. There's some things that God's going to hold my hand, walk me through, shine His light on, so that I can make the goal. Paul also used the word mastery, and I like that. Mastery. It's a sports type word in the Greek. When you have mastery, you're the one that won the race. Now here's the things that are listed here. We don't even have to guess. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? And then he says, verse 37, in all these things. Now, tribulation is to be under pressure. It's defined as pressure of circumstances and antagonism of persons. You know what that means? Have you ever had antagonism of persons? I mean, somebody's really aggravating you. Pressure, to be under pressure. We have a pressure cooker. We don't use it too much. But we used to can green beans. Wayne was raised on a farm. And when you can, you put those things in under pressure. And when you put that under pressure, there's a maximum pressure. And when the maximum steam is built up, that little escape valve on the top will pop up and begin to pour forth steam. And you know that's all the pressure that can be put in that pot. That's why the scripture says, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, you're not the only one that's ever happened to you. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, to be under pressure, but will, with the pressure, provide a way of escape. And as I'm walking towards the goal, and I know I'm the winner, I'm looking for the door. Then where's the door? There's a door somewhere of escape. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord hath delivered them out of them all. You know what that says? Where's the door? Delivered them out of them. Where's the door? Pentecost was a wonderful door for me. I was raised in the denominational church. I never had heard of speaking in tongues. I didn't know anything. We read our Bible through every year. I'd read Acts chapter 2 several times. It never even dawned on me that that was a supernatural event. You know. And when somebody first mentioned it to me, I didn't understand. I said, now say that again. What did you say? I had never heard the term. I didn't know exactly. I thought, this is strange. She's telling me something strange. But I had been searching. Oh, I so wanted to serve God. And in those days, everybody that served God went door to door. You remember that? And one gentleman that was on a team that went door to door said, you know, I'm going to pray they're not home. And I thought, phew, that is a good idea. I mean, I was chicken. I have never been bold. I'm only bold in God and bold under the anointing. I'm your basic backseat wallflower. I don't like to mix and mingle. I am very passive. I'm not aggressive. I was searching. And I even said, it seems to me that God gave us a monumental task to do without the power to do it. I said those very words. I said, it seems to me we need some power in the church of God. The house of God. Where's the power? Then Pentecost was a wonderful door of escape for me. It was the power that my heart desired. Thanks be unto God. Who, when I think about it, I'm going to live 20, 30, at least 30 more years, possibly more. And every step of the way, I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to prosper. It says, but it's as my soul prospers. To meditate is to build a tent, to camp in one spot. And sometimes in a dilemma, you need to camp there. You need to light your fire, get out all your cooking utensils. You need to stay right there in that one verse of Scripture. I remember when I stepped into Pentecost, the Lord called me to teach. Everybody around me that taught had degrees. Many had doctorates. I was so intimidated. Oh, thanks be unto God. Whom He calls, He equips. Oh, we thank You, dear Father. And I kept hearing this verse of Scripture. I backed farther and farther from what God wanted me to do. Kept backing up because I'm not qualified. I just kept backing up, kept retreating. And they'd ask me to do something. I'd say, no. get him to do it. I just kept, you don't know how far you can retreat. And still the lie of the gospel, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God still kept saying, come here, Becky. Come here. I had this verse of scripture in my heart. A pastor kept quoting it. Every time he quoted it, my heart went, it was like a sword in my heart. And that's what the word is. See, there's a word for your dilemma today. There's a word you can cling to that'll anchor you while you're walking towards victory. And the verse was, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. I mean, it just kept coming up and coming up. And after several weeks, I don't mean days, weeks. I'm a little speedier in the spirit now than I was then. I thought, you know, I probably should look that up. It just dawned on me one day. You know, I have that verse in my heart. I probably should look that up. And right under that verse, see, the Holy Ghost knows that I don't know the next verse. Never had seen the next verse. It's the next verse. It's the verse right under that that I needed. He knows I don't know that verse. Oh, I'm so glad. And if he can get me on that verse, chances are I'll see the verse underneath, which says, I'm better than all my teachers because I've meditated in thy precepts.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, all God was saying, he wasn't making me better or best. He was just saying to me, Becky, you can do this.
Yes.
I'll help you. You can do this. And he kept stirring my heart and pointing me to the scripture that I needed. Now, tribulation is to be under pressure. It doesn't matter what the pressure, what the antagonism. There's a solution for you. And it's by the Spirit. By the Spirit, that the Spirit of the living God who dwells on the inside guides me to the Word, points out the solution, tells me what to hold fast to, where to stand, and what to say. What you stand on, you speak. And then the next word here is distress. And I love that word. It means to be narrow. That's why the psalmist said, I have placed you in a large room. He was saying, you are free indeed. A narrow place. We use an expression today that means identically the same thing. What do we say today? Be in a jam. Same thing. Not a hard book. You have the teacher on the inside. It's not many different messages. It's a few messages expressed in different words by different authors. Where one author thought you have victory, John thought you have victory, Paul thought you could triumph, Joshua thought success would be good. And Joshua said, listen, you need to observe the word. James said, if you want to be blessed, continue in the word. And John said, you need your soul to prosper and walk in the truth. In the Psalms, I'm captured by one psalm. It's like the psalmist stuttered. He came to a spot that was so vibrant in his heart that he just overflowed. And he said, oh, if the Lord hadn't been on our side. He said, oh, if the Lord hadn't been on Israel's side. Oh, if the Lord hadn't been on Jacob's side. Oh, if the Lord hadn't been on our side. It's like a record with a scratch in it. The psalmist got stuck there. God is on my side. He's on my side. In the middle of pressure, if you're in a jam, he's on your side. What are you going to do? You're going to lean on the Spirit. And the Spirit of God's going to guide you into the Word and say, now stand right here. Hold fast. Hold fast. Keep saying, no weapon formed against me prospers. No weapon formed against me prospers. And then he talks about persecution. That means to be followed or pursued. We would say today, somebody always on your case. I'll give you the Cumbie translation. Is that all right? What are you going to do when somebody's always on your case? See, the Spirit of God is going to take the Word of God and personalize it to your situation. He's probably going to say to you, pray for your enemy. Bless those that curse you and despitefully use you. He may say, overcome evil with good. See, he's going to give you a word that's going to anchor you that you can hold fast to. And then he talks about famine, nakedness, real lack. Well, I just say thanks be unto God. Why? Because I know he said he'd meet my need out of his riches and glory. See, right there, I'm anchored. And if I open my checkbook, it never says zero. It always says minus something. You know, it never stops on zero. Have you noticed that? It always says minus something. If I don't have any money, maybe it says $1.98. Hopefully you don't minus it. It says $1.98 and there isn't any more money and there's nowhere to get any more money. It's a long time till payday. What are you going to do? I'm going to say, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You meet my need. 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 Oh, the Spirit of the living God is going to look at my dilemma and look at the Word and say, what Word does she need for that dilemma? And by the Spirit that's resident on the inside, He's going to bring me the promise of God that's going to put me over and cause me to overcome that obstacle and walk steadily towards victory. Amen. Now, in this list is peril and sword. That's a declared enemy. That's war. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. If God be for us, if the Lord is on our side, thanks be unto God. Declared war doesn't have to be far away. It's usually in your household. It's usually some kid that lives with you, related to you, that says, I hate you. Any mother not ever heard that at one time or another? I hate you. Declared enemies. But Scripture says, my seed are mighty upon the earth. Mighty upon the earth. And they may be looking me in the face and saying, I hate you. I see the goal. Mighty seed. There they are. I said, come here, mighty one. Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. For the Spirit that gives guidance divine. Oh, for the Spirit that assures us if we cling to the vine, all is well and all is fine. Oh, thank God for the Spirit that helps us to overcome, that brings a reality of victory to us over and over again. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You know, sometimes if you don't have an island, put out a chair, walk around your sofa, and just say, victory, 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 overcome, overcome, prosper, 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 prosper. And your heart will begin saying, yeah, 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 yeah. And then the Spirit of God will say, now let me show you how to do that. And some he's going to say to, go tell them you're sorry. There's no victory if you don't. If an apology is in order, don't stumble over that. Be quick to obey. Because victory only comes the Spirit's way. And the Spirit says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Today. But don't stumble, don't draw back. Don't wait till they come. Go quickly and obey. Because forgiveness is what God can use this day.